Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Universal Love Movement Podcast Show, the special series that we have where we are exploring the different amazing potential that we all have, this Accessing Ability series. And I'm joined by my, like, we were just reflecting, it's been like 15 years of not just, you know, hey, we're friends, kind of, but just one of my besties. We were actually literally separated at birth, Dr. Elizabeth Bapazzola. How are you doing today, Liz? Are you there?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me, Carl.
Yeah, definitely. So we were separated at birth. What we're about 2 days apart.
I'm two days older than you. Yes.
Oh, thanks a lot. You always like to remind me about that.
I'm the older, wiser one.
Yeah, the older, wiser. So I figure I'll bring my older, wiser sister by a few days onto the show. You know, Liz is an expert to me. She's definitely a certified StrengthsFinder coach, but I've learned tons from her as it relates to wellness, positive intelligence, and we often geek out on positive psychology. But in this episode, we're going to really explore that crucial and that critical link between like self-care and accessing new abilities. And, you know, this is a topic that resonates deeply with many of us, but I'm very much so in gratitude for you, Liz, because over the years, we've been able to continue to grow and evolve in this area. And I think it's like the most important piece. And I am super excited to hear from you today as it relates to the topic.
Great. Well, I'm excited to share and have this dialogue together.
Yeah. So Liz, we first, you know, just this, the idea of accessing ability, just kind of returning to that for a moment. You had mentioned there was a book that you had mentioned of someone. And I love the way you phrase and state things a lot of times. It'll be me riffing on a whole bunch of stuff. And you'll say, yeah, Carl, that's this. Boom. Right to the point. Because of you leaning into your communication, you know, talent and strength there. So from your understandings thus far, what I'm getting at with this whole accessing ability, this idea that we have these these potentials that are waiting to be unlocked and unleashed. What are your thoughts about that so far and kind of what we're getting at? And if you could reference that author again, that would be great.
Sure. Yeah, I am totally aligned with what the series is about. Of we all have greatness within us, and it's a matter of unlocking that within us, what things that are holding us back. And the author that I mentioned, he is actually the founder of Strategic Coach. His name is Dan Sullivan, and he is one of the leading coaches for entrepreneurs in the country. And he really talks about everyone having a unique ability, and that really aligns beautifully with positive psychology and the Gallup research on StrengthsFinder and finding your strengths. And the goal is to really build that greater self-awareness and really strong skills around understanding what is my unique ability. And really, a lot of great peak performance coaches also talk about the importance of when you're really trying to be in your greatness mindset and live your highest potential and always growing and evolving, because that's a continuing target that moves forward, right? As we grow and evolve, to really focusing on training your body, your craft, and your mind together to unlock that great potential within you.
Oh, that's awesome. And that's, and you know, when you had mentioned that book, I got really excited. I need to read it. And
I don't know if he's written a book about it, but it's just one of his philosophies as a coach.
I see. It's his approach. It's part of his like model. I got you.
Right. Okay. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. He's written various books. I can reference a few of them, but I think it's mentioned in one of his latest books, co-authored by Benjamin Hardy, 10X is Easier Than 2X, Finding Your Unique Abilities.
Okay.
Part of that. Yeah. It's just one of his, he has a lot of different philosophies to help people grow in their life and business.
Wonderful. No, that's exciting. Yeah, it's such at the core of what accessing ability, and as I mentioned to you before, I want to add to the conversation that everyone is exploring their potential, and it not just being, you know, us looking at and having a deficit-based lens of a certain, you know, population and then thinking that everyone else is, we're all on this journey together. And it's really exciting because when we're looking at something like self-care, it's so essential in our fast-paced world. And there was something I learned recently. It's called the acceleration principle or something. And long story short, it talks about how we have more, it's more of a fast food nation. You're getting little bite-sized pieces of things and people are skimming over. So things really feel like they're speeding up. And I know that folks that are listening, you could probably relate to the fact that things feel like they're speeding up. And it either time really is, and it's this skimming culture that we have. But self-care becomes super important in that type of a world. So can you help, you know, kind of share and help us understand why self-care is so essential in such a fast-paced world?
Yeah, when I think about a fast-paced world, I think that really mimics a high stress response. Like when I think about when I'm in a fast-paced setting, it doesn't feel natural, right? Because the way that, you know, when I think about things coming fast or things flashing quickly or just a lot on a calendar and lots of moving parts, all of that naturally for most of us induces a stress response, like a fight or flight kind of response that our brain is seeing as danger. And so the goal for self-care is to mitigate that stress response, because stress is a mind-made disorder. Like it's all about how our psychology is this stressful or not. It's all about how we're framing it, right? And so we need to do a lot of really important self-care things for our mind and for our body, because our mind and bodies are intertwined and interconnected together, so we can really be our best self, our whole self, our present self, and mitigate all of the stressors that are in our environment because we live in such a fast-paced society.
Wow, that's beautiful. Fast pace is stress. It automatically elicits some type of stress response. You're not going to go fast and not get that. So that's the first thing. Is that what you're?
I just think of, yeah. And I'm actually, if you think about the, just to, you know, to give evidence at this point, like right now I'm on vacation right now. This is like the only thing on my calendar this morning, and I'm looking at the ocean from my window. Like,
thanks for teasing me again.
The trees, you know? And palm trees. There is nothing stressful about this, and that's why we love being on vacation so much, is because it slows down our lives, right? And so that's why we need, so that's part of self-care is going on vacation, but there's also lots that you can do in your day-to-day life, in your working days, in your mornings, in your evenings, and really build these healthy self-care habits and routines to really protect your body and protect your brain, so you can really be your best self and not be triggered by all of these stressors within your environment.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I really do love that. It's such the core, because we're humans, you know, first. And I really appreciate, especially starting there. It's something that because of my love for everyone, I just, you know, such a sweetness in that space of slowing down. My acupuncturist talks about the slow club. And every time I come, she's always like, hey, are you willing to join yet? And I told her this past summer that, hey, I'm ready to join, but I don't think I've been going to the meetings enough. I need to join that slow club, because of what's going to allow my brain to do. That slow club is super important. So when you're mentioning the stress, and then the being able to, you mentioned presence, being our best self, all these things really tie together with what we're at here. So what would you say is like something that is your go-to, you know, as it relates to your own personal approach, and how did you get to that? You know, because you have this understanding, obviously, because of your, you know, 10,000 hours or whatever in the space. You just kind of, let's learn a little bit about you in that regard.
No, I have not always been such a proponent of self-care. I mean, I've always been so, my personal passion and discipline has always been leadership development, personal development. I have a doctorate in higher ed leadership and worked in the field of higher education. That's where you and I met, Carl. Was running leadership programs on college campuses and teaching leadership courses and those types of things. So I've always been a proponent of unlocking greatness and your full potential, for sure. But right. The self-care piece of that is, I would say it has been a part of my story only for the past really 4 years. So I was, you know, in my job as a higher ed administrator, and I moved up the ranks. The last job I had, I was an assistant vice president on a college campus managing 5 offices. And then after the birth of my daughter, my husband has a big job, and all of the childcare responsibilities still rested on me, even though I had a big job, because his job had zero flexibility. And I was making long commutes to daycare early in the mornings and back. There was just a lot of fast-paced, stressful things coming from work and from being a new mom. And my health just got really, really, really bad. And I struggled with my health for the first 3.5 years of her life. I had a really challenging delivery. I was hospitalized a month after she was born and had to take an extended maternity leave because my health was so bad. My mom had to move in with us for a few months. And then I had to get a nanny to help with her because my health was so challenged. And then when I went back to work, it never really got better. The medicine with my new body, because so much changes after you deliver a child, just stopped working. And I was just kind of managing poor health and a child and a big job, and it all kind of crumbled. And when my daughter turned around my daughter's third birthday, I was hospitalized again, and I missed her third birthday party and was hospitalized for 3.5 weeks. And it was like my rock bottom. It's like, I've always wanted to be a mom. That was like my number one calling in life ever since I was a little girl, you know? And I can't even be her mom because I'm so sick, because I'm just not taking care of myself. And this is all just too much. So thankfully, with the right doctor, and then I was also like 40 pounds overweight. I wasn't really fitting in exercise as much. I wasn't eating that well. I was, you know, there's a lot of pieces of my health weren't right. And so I switched careers because having a big job with my husband's big job wasn't agreeable to the kind of, you know, it was taking such a toll on the family and my health, and became a full-time coach, which is what I still do now. And I just totally studied how to take care of your mind and body. And I started exercising the right way. I started eating really healthy, like only whole foods, like nothing really processed, low sugar, healthy fats and proteins, fruits and vegetables, you know, how we all know how to eat, right? I started doing a gratitude journal every single morning. I started meditating every single night. I started really writing down goals, and I ended up losing the 40 pounds. So now, and I've been able to keep that off. And I really have created these self-care things because if I don't have my health, I can't do anything for my family. When you are hospitalized, there's nothing, you can't serve anybody. Right. You can't be your mom. True. You can't be a great wife. I couldn't be a great wife to my husband. I couldn't be a great person to the job that I had. I couldn't give to my community. Like, so I just realized that I have like 3 big rocks, and health needs to be one of those because it's such a pillar of everything else. My self-care is really non-negotiable because of the pain that I experience. I there's a great quote from Michael Javaris. He's a peak performance coach that kind of like sets this, and he says, Uncomfortable is how we grow, but pain is how we change. And the intense, like, transformative pain that I experienced in the summer of 2019 is what led to me to create all these self-care techniques. And I just have full confidence that I'll never hit that bottom again if I just keep up all of these daily healthy habits. And I use these self-care techniques with my coaching clients to this day because I know how powerful they are to create a better body, a better brain, and a better life for you, your family, and whatever career path you have as well.
Wow, I really do appreciate you sharing that. It becomes such a real accessible, because I know there's so many folks that can relate to just having that, like you said, hit rock bottom, you know, and then being able to, you mentioned that you're no good for any of those folks, your daughter, your husband, family, anyone, if you're not good, right? And I really do appreciate the vulnerability and you sharing all that with us. And you mentioned one of your rocks being health. I'm assuming that there are some other rocks that we'll get into later. And I appreciate that quote as well. The uncomfortable is how we grow and pain is how we change. And I see you as a person that now, and maybe this is one I'll make up and coin over time, but like superpowers, you have superpowers from your suffering or something like that, right? So
yeah,
the superpower that emerged. So some of, you know, people know about the self-care. Some of us have like at least a kind of a distant view. And then when you get closer, it involves commitment that you've displayed. How, once a person's in the vicinity and they've actually set up real estate there and they are in self-care, in the zone, living in the house, how does taking care of oneself unlock and enhance abilities? Like, talk to us about that in general, then maybe even some that it's kind of unlocked or enhanced for you when taking care of yourself more.
Right. Absolutely. So I'll just describe, you know, kind of like the key self-care habits that I do. I'll describe those and then how they have helped me now.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
Created that. So the key things that I do in the morning, well, first I get a full night's rest. So I get like at least 8 hours. I think my best rested self is 9 hours. I'm one who needs a little bit more hours, but I always make sure I get a full night's rest, meaning I go to bed early enough and I wake up that's reasonable. But I always like to wake up a little bit before my daughter gets up for school in the morning. And I do like a 25 minute workout first thing in the morning. And I do I call it my mindset journaling. But when I, it's just like about 15 minutes while I'm drinking my coffee and my daughter's having her breakfast in the morning. So it's like over breakfast. Of just gratitude. And then for me, I'm very spiritual. And so that's my writing down my conversation with God. So but for people that aren't as spiritual, it would just be journaling their thoughts for the day, how they want to set up their day for success. But definitely starting your day with gratitude is really powerful. There's so much great research on the power of gratitude because it's such a high, beautiful thought to have and psychology and frame to have to start your day. And then so mornings are really precious, like to be able to build some self-care around that to kind of like start your day and set your day up for success. And then I will, you know, incorporate a walk if I can during the day just to get a little bit of a break. And then at nighttime, I always like to read some type of positive nonfiction book to kind of set my night up for success, whether it's a psychology book or, you know, because you want to feed your brain the right things, I think is really important. Right. And I also try to limit my brain of the bad things. So I limit when I say bad, I'm just, you know, a little bit of news is good because you need to know what's going on with the world. But I used to ingest a lot of news, like, and I realized what that was doing to my psychology. I was never feeling better when I was reading all the horrible
things.
Yeah,
that's the key. Pain is information, right? Why do you
right. So you also have to limit it. And I do limit my social media a lot, you know, because I realize, am I feeling better being on social media or am I feeling worse? So it's really important to be in tune with yourself. Is this helping or hurting your psychology? You know, inputting the right things and refraining from inputs from the wrong things. And then at night, before bed, I always make sure I go to bed at a decent hour, but I limit my light exposure at night, for circadian rhythm support. Do a little bit of positive psychology reading or spiritual reading. And then I do 10 to 20 minute meditation before bed. I also do meditation before big calls, like before a coaching call. During the day, I do meditation. So this all sounds like a lot, but I just started with a couple things first. I just started with exercise and eating a little better. So these habits have been building for the past 4 years. So when I work with a client one-on-one, we just start with a couple. And then once that feels really good and routine and regular, maybe that takes like 2 to 3 months, then we add more. So I don't mean to overwhelm people with all the things that I do, because it's just baby steps, like tiny habits built over time. And then these positive things just compound, just like how money compounds with good interest rates and those types of things, in your bank account or in the stock market, money compounds, that type of thing. Your positive, healthy habits compound to a better psychology, a better body, better brain, and more presence in your day. So those are the kind of like key things that I do. And it really helps with, now that I have this more positive frame of mind, when a big stressor comes into my life, I can be in a much better state of mind. My husband and I are in real estate together. And in August, we bought a property and we only had 30 days. We're in commercial real estate. So in commercial real estate, the process of buying a property, once you decide to buy it, there's a lot to do in a short of time. And I realized that this August, 2023 August, when we were buying this property with so many moving parts and so many unknowns and a lot of big stressors that were going on, I handled that so well, and I kind of like rose to the occasion, and I really supported my husband a lot. And I knew it was because I was handling all of these big stressors from work in such a healthier, better way. It almost was like activating my best thinking skills and best responses, compared to when we bought a property like 3 years ago when we bought our first one. And I've seen that improvement. And so you kind of see yourself kind of like shining when it's, you're really called on to respond in this peak performance way.
Oh, I love it so, so much. And you've given, so that ability at the end there that you had mentioned, when you're going through and you're responding with such, what is it? I'm putting words on it, like grace and resilience and being kind of like even killed. That's an enhanced ability, or was that a new ability unlocked? Like if you were in that situation, like years ago, before your routine and what have you, before all the baby steps that led to this, is that an enhanced one or a new ability, you think?
I think it's enhanced. I think of it like using maybe the sports analogy, because I play tennis, and or like any type of sport that you have, like you have to compete, and do you choke, mm-hmm. When you have to, when you're everything's right on the line, and in basketball you have to throw like that game winning free throw, that game winning shot, or do you miss it, that type of thing. Same thing with tennis. Do you double fault on your serve when you really need that point to go in, or do you hit like a winner and like your best serve of your life? I realized that instead of really choking and being really stressed out and making rash decisions, I was able to rise to the challenge, which I think is an ability that I maybe always had buried within me, but I was able to apply that greater ability, and be like a really powerful support to my husband as a business partner.
That's really amazing. Yeah, I love it. I love that. And I think there are so many folks that can relate to being able to see something in them that they may have an inclination towards exercising sometimes, but then really being able to be in full performance mode in those those deeper, more trying times as you described there. What other, is there any other, are there any, have you surprised yourself? Are there any, you know, you're taking care of yourself. This is a part of your practice, right? A part of just like who you are. It's like a, and I know that you, that's why, you know, one of the reasons why we're brother and sisters, because I know self-care is your like hobby, right? It's not a, it's your profession, but it's your hobby. Are there, with this newfound hobby, are there any other ways of being that you would say are newfound abilities or, you know, states of being that you couldn't locate before or that you wouldn't say you had before?
Well, something that is, so one thing that I know about myself, and this actually came out in my StrengthsFinder, Clifton Strengths Report, that I am very future oriented. I love thinking about the future. I love visualizing about the future. I love planning about the future, which is a beautiful strength of mine when it's needed, but it's also can be a big blind spot of mine because I'm almost more excited about living for tomorrow or 10 years from now than being right present. And so one thing that I've really, I'm really focusing on now is how to be so much more present and here and now, because that is the only thing that's real, like that we have right here now, this breath, this moment. You know, I have so many like thoughts and dreams. Oh, when my daughter's off to college, then my husband and I don't have to worry about school. Like we have location freedom. We're going to do this, this, and this. But I have this beautiful child living at my house and she's growing up so quickly, you know? And so I think that's something, you know, we are all works in progress. Like happiness is found by looking back and seeing how far you've grown, but it's so important to be fully here and now, because that's the only thing that's really real. And it's so beautiful and precious. So that mindfulness, with everyday moments, mindfulness in my conversations, mindfulness, even just having a meal or, you know, just being so much more alive and fully alive, which is so hard to do. Again, going back to that fast paced world, like it almost just like it, the moment goes by so fast, going back to your original comment. So being more mindful and present is just so beautiful and important.
You know, that's, I hadn't thought about, I really appreciate you sharing this because it's like the, you've given yourself the gift of presence, as you mentioned, and the only thing being now. And thinking about that that as a new ability is pretty powerful. Whereas if you are, because in many cases, folks are future oriented, like me as well, I'm the same. I'm living in a past of, I'm sorry, the future or living in a past, like the pain of the past or the anticipation of the future. And what I hear you saying is that, you know, one of the things that you can really do now is be present. But what's powerful about that for me, or you can be present more so, is that, wow, what an amazing new ability, the ability to actually enjoy and taste, and say, smell the roses and look at the, like, look and feel what's in front of you. And it's amazing that how we can live life and not necessarily have it as vivid and as like 4K as it's more 4K or more vivid than if you're in the past or the future. So I hadn't thought about that as a another potential, you know, kind of ability or, you know, that folks would access. So that's pretty powerful right there.
Right. And that is like, you know, the past is, you know, if we think about the past, the best way to think about it was just be grateful of where it brought you to this day, because you are grateful for this moment today. It taught you, it, you know, even past challenges, past pain, you know, past experiences that may have helped you have brought you to this moment today. So we can think about that, but really what we should focus on is this beautiful moment here and now. And even if the moment is horrible here and now, then we just need to be in acceptance mode. You know what I mean?
Like, right. Because you can't, it's here.
Right. If you're like stuck on the highway and it's pouring down rain and your tire is flat, which has happened to me before, you know, and you're like, okay, this is this is where we are at. We just have to be then in an acceptance mode of the here and now and not try to resist it. Eckhart Tolle is a spiritual teacher that I love. He talks about presence and an acceptance of the present moment as you know, kind of like the foundation. And then higher states is more like enthusiasm and things like that for the present moment, that type of thing. And then if we think about the future, we don't want to worry about it or anticipate it. You know, we just know that will come, and what I do now sets me up for the best next moment in the future.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. It's such a, that's, we may have to, that's an entire other series, Liz. You know,
I think it is, right.
These are important concepts. And going back to that one part you mentioned, in terms of folks being able to like look at their like current reality and accept it, that's huge, that acceptance. I learned a strategy about zooming in and zooming out, or taking like a very up close view versus when things are favorable versus when things are not, like that third person looking at it. Like it was described as the seer in some ancient texts, but literally like kind of like taking a, hey, Carl was going through this. And like that kind of objective learning mode. And it's a beautiful interplay of acceptance that's so necessary to dig into, that we may need to as well. And I know that you are a certified StrengthsFinder coach, and I know that you don't want, we actually did the positive intelligence training together, so I'm going to consider you an expert, even though you don't, I don't know.
All right.
You are mentally fit. Could you elaborate on tools like StrengthsFinder, or even like the concepts of positive intelligence, which I think you really have really great command for leveraging it to help folks and groups and teams? How can they contribute to, you know, personal wellness and this ability enhancement that we're talking about?
Sure. So, positive psychology is all about the discipline and the field of studying how we can be happy, how we can improve, how we can grow, and all the roots of that. And StrengthsFinder, Clifton Strengths, which was founded by Donald Clifton, and it is given by the Gallup organization as a test that really measures your natural ways of thinking, feeling, and behaving that can unlock your greatest strengths and also uncover some hidden blind spots. But the root cause is your talent. It's a talent assessment, your natural ways of thinking, behaving, and feeling that, when productively applied, can be your greatest strengths and assets. And it really builds this beautiful self-awareness, which is the key component of emotional intelligence. And so if we understand how we naturally think, behave, and feel, and how, if we can use these in productive, positive ways, they can turn into our greatest strengths at work and at home, and at least greater happiness, greater productivity, greater profitability. If you care about profitability in business, you know, those types of things. So it's really a beautiful tool to start with. What am I naturally thinking, behaving, and feeling? What am I good at? And how can I minimize these blind spots so they can only be my best strengths? Positive intelligence is really looking at, this is based on understanding the distinction between our survivor brain, which I referenced a little bit in the very beginning about fight or flight response, and those types of things, like things that cause stress responses in the brain. This is led by judging others, judging ourselves, or judging our conditions. That those are all kind of negative mind states. And then other types of ways that our thinking is framed from stress responses, versus the sage part of our brain, which is really focusing more on having empathy for others, being really innovative if the situation calls for that, being really exploring and navigating multiple paths, are really activating and really rising to the occasion if it calls for that. So those are kind of the two different parts of the brain, the survivor brain and the sage brain in positive intelligence. And the way that we can down-regulate the survivor brain and really up-regulate and really try to grow and expand our sage brain is by this Building Mental Fitness, and it's all based on mindfulness and being more present and really suppressing kind of that stress response so we can really activate the sage part of the brain. So there's these exercises that Positive Intelligence talks you to do. They call them PQ reps. It stands for Positive Intelligence Reps. And just think of it as like, instead of lifting weights and doing reps in the gym to build muscles in your biceps, you would do reps of the mind by doing small, short, mindful moments, like deep breathing, just really focusing on maybe three deep breaths before a big meeting to center yourself, or like before I give a presentation, I try to do like a 5-minute meditation to really center myself and kind of like relax the body and really get my mind really sharp for the present moment. And if you are doing the PQ reps right, you do a lot of them throughout the day to really build your brain, this powerful sage brain together. And then also really having the framework of Positive Intelligence. It talks about in every challenge, there's a hidden gift and opportunity. So the challenge that you're experiencing in the here and now, you can ask yourself, where is the hidden gift and opportunity? And when we were going through the training, we would think about past challenges, past experiences. I mean, I referenced my story about, you know, my rock bottom 4 years, you know, 4.5 years ago when my daughter's third birthday. And, you know, if you would have asked me in the hospital, where's the hidden gift and opportunity, I wouldn't have been able to tell you because it was horrible. But now, you know, 4.5 years later, it has shaped me to this day into being such a stronger, more resilient person where I can serve and give at such a higher level than I was before going through that rock bottom experience. So I see that really powerful hidden gift and opportunity. So we can't always see it in the moment when we're experiencing the challenge, but we can kind of trust. And when we ask ourselves that question, our brain starts looking for hidden gifts and opportunities and starts kind of like working towards solutions for you.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. You still there, Liz?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I just love, and how you tied it in earlier, and it's the that question, like, how can we make this the best thing that ever happened to us, type of thing, and that training of the brain. So then that's another ability, right? Like your brain kind of sorting out. Not that there probably are studies on this, but you know, how long would a person need to have that type of thinking before it becomes habit? Is this the 21-day thing we're talking about for a person to access this new ability of like leveraging like positive psychology by way of like being mentally fit in such a way, in that way? What would you say if they were consistent?
Perhaps
you don't know.
No, it's hard to, I'm just thinking about my coaching clients where I've seen like different, as we think about accessing ability on a continuum, this whole rewiring the brain into a more positive, resilient, stronger brain is also on a continuum. So it's like, where are they starting? And, you know,
how,
that type of thing. It's a moving target because I'm not there either. I don't think I have the best brain that I will have if I keep this up. I think I'm going to get a lot better at this. Like, yeah, come back 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now. And I hope I have a stronger brain as a result from the reps, right? If you just think about growing bicep muscles, like where are you starting? You know, what are you doing? But, you know, I mean, bodybuilders have like massive muscles, way bigger than my muscles because they've been sticking with it longer and they go through stressors and, they stress the body through the building of the muscle, right? So I definitely, you know, the quote going back to uncomfortable is how we grow, pain is how we change. The uncomfortableness is how you grow. So being in challenging situations and then using these powerful tools to rise to the occasion is what strengthens the brain a lot too. So sometimes I realize I'm a little bit too comfortable in life. Oh, I have all these beautiful self-care routines, but I don't have enough challenge in my life to apply them. So I think that is an important piece, is that you stretch yourself and grow yourself. You know, the real estate, buying that real estate property in August that I talked about was actually an amazing peak experience because I was really challenged and called upon to apply these tools that I've been training for.
Wonderful. Yeah, I love it. I really do think it's a, those are really great nuggets, and this, and you're displaying the superpowers through the suffering that you have now. These like new abilities. This has been really great chatting with you, Liz, about these topics. And as I mentioned before, there's so much more to dive deeper into. I wanted to give you a moment that's a little bit none of this is scripted, but just for you to kind of. Were there any practical self-care strategies that you feel like you really shared a really great routine that you do, but maybe there are some that you would say, hey, these are some things you could start doing so that they can be on the path towards accessing their, you know, hidden abilities and, you know, and things of that sort. What would you say?
So if everyone can start to do something in first thing in the morning and something at night. Like the bookends of the day are when we're closest to our subconscious mind. Really beautiful things can be built. And those are the times of the day that we have the most control over, ideally, The responsibilities haven't quite started and responsibilities are hopefully over by the time that you go to bed. Hopefully you stop things, you know, and give yourselves an unwinding before bed. So the biggest things that, I covet my journaling practice because there's so much that I explore and unlock and can talk out in my journals, and starting your day with gratitude. So beginning with gratitude, either for a few things, there are some things in my life that I'm so grateful for that I never want to take for granted. So those I write down every single day because I always just want to have a grateful heart because I haven't always had those things and I want to try to do everything I can to keep those things in my life. So starting with gratitude and doing a little bit of a journal, and I studied habits and, you know, having like a trigger. So for me, my trigger is I do it with my morning coffee. That's my breakfast, is having a cup of coffee. And so trigger is making the coffee, which I will always have every morning. And then just doing that journal, I love. And then doing something before bed. I love to meditate before bed, but if you want to read something inspiring, you can journal again before bed. But like silencing the outside voices and hearing your inner sage voice is really powerful. So the journaling practice and the mindfulness meditation practice is what helps silence the noise outside and bring out the sage, beautiful voice from within, that wise soul that you have, that everyone has, which is kind of like the seeds of where your greatness really flourishes from.
Wow, that's beautiful. Those bookends of the day. Oh goodness, thank you so much. This has been a really insightful conversation for me. We talk, we have conversations, you know, and do our deep powwows. And I've definitely still even learned a lot from you today, Dr. Bapazola, Liz. And I really do appreciate your ability to really make these concepts easily and digestible. And that doesn't have to be, people don't have to be like experts or anything like that to take care of themselves. And we know that there's a growing interest in taking care of people and taking care of themselves. You made it that much more accessible. So as we wrap up today, you know, I want to turn it over to you one last time and say if there's any advice or anything that you want to say as it relates to people unleashing and unlocking their full potential. As you know, this podcast series is on, you know, accessing new abilities and us just kind of redefining how we look at our brain and how it works across the board. So any Dr. Bapasola wisdom for everyone before we close out?
Well, I'm just so grateful. I want to thank you first for this opportunity to be able to share, because my goal is to always help others in any way that I can. So thank you for this conversation. And I guess I just want to share that, you know, we all have a beautiful seeds of greatness within us. And so it is each of our kind of like responsibility to cultivate that so we can give that light to others. Everyone has this beautiful light within them. And so the way that we do that is by nourishing yourself through these different types of self-care things. So when challenges come, we can rise to that occasion. And just know that it just comes from daily habits that get to be habitual and are built over time. So just starting with one or two positive things that you can do every single day to really make your mental fitness a little stronger, build those mental muscles. And then as those get a little stronger, giving a new daily habit to add to that. And so, you know, if you think about a cookie jar that's on the top shelf and a little three-year-old wants to get to the cookies, first they get a chair and then they stack another book and you think, oh, yeah. You know, they finally reached the cookie jar on the top shelf. Well, what led them to reach that? Was it the chair? No. Was it the last book? It was everything built up over time. So be gentle with yourself, because these things take time and, you know, there's a lot of negative forces in our world. And so protecting yourself, what you input in, and what you, you know, is really important. And so this is all a beautiful journey that we're on, and we're here to support each other. So, you know, this platform that you have, Carl, is so beautiful for people to help have those more positive inputs by listening to this podcast.
Oh, well, thank you so much, big sis, Dr. Liz Bapasola. I really do appreciate you so, so very much. And we want to thank all of you for listening to Liz and her wisdom that she provided us today. And remembering, you know, taking care of yourself is, you know, not a luxury, it's a necessity, as, you know, Dr. Bapasola mentioned. And I am just so excited that you've all tuned into the Accessibility podcast series as a part of the Universal Love Movement. Remember, you have these amazing abilities and this potential waiting to be unlocked. And I want to thank you, and we will see you next time.